You are listening to
Rural Voices,
the Rural Youth Europe podcast.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Rural Voices, the Rural Youth Europe podcast. I'm Dan, and this month I'm asking the question, how has being a member of your organisation changed your life? We are talking about the skills that we gain and how we can apply these skills to our studies, our career and future prospects. Firstly, I had the pleasure of talking to Christine from Latvia. From an early age, she has grabbed every opportunity that has come her way and travelled the world through projects with Latvian 4-H, Rural Youth Europe and Erasmus+.
I used to be a little bit shy as well to go somewhere alone because I was anxious. I didn't know if I would find the right way. But I would just like to tell younger people that you will.
I also spoke to Satu from Finland. Satu is a great advocate for 4-H and believes it was these experiences that ultimately led her to her job as a communications advisor for the permanent mission of Finland to the UN and Consulate General in New York.
I come from like a very rural town that doesn't really have big opportunities, and my family was never traveling abroad or doing any of those things. So whenever I saw some kind of exchange trip program, I was like, I will take it, I'll go. And that was, I think, the confidence definitely stems from the 4-H kids. They really encourage us, despite your background, despite your previous experiences in international surroundings, just go for it.
Finally, I caught up with the board member representative for Eastern Europe, Birgit, to play this month's Campfire Stories game.
Hello Europe, this is Ireland calling.
Hello Europe, this is Sweden calling.
Hello Europe, this is Austria calling.
But first, let's hear what happened when I caught up with Christine from Latvia.
You are listening to
Rural Voices,
the Rural Youth Europe podcast.
Hi, Christine. Welcome to Rural Voices. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so honoured. I feel so special.
Now, I met you for the first time in England in 2019 at the rally.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be plenty of people listening who know you from Rural Youth Europe events. But for those people that don't know you, can you introduce yourself and say a bit about where you're from?
Okay, so hi everyone, I'm Christine. Now I go by Chris because I learned it's a little bit easier. It's shorter. I come from Latvia and I'm part of our Latvian 4-H.
Yeah, but today you're actually calling from Guernsey. What brings you to Guernsey?
Oh, you know, the story, it's not that interesting, but it's funny how I got here. Because my mom came here for the first time to work, because unfortunately back home there's not a lot of job opportunities anymore, so people tend to move away. And in Guernsey there's quite a huge Latvian population and society here. So everyone's kind of calling Latvians to come here and to work here because there's a lot of benefits for both of the parties involved. So my mom started working here, and I decided to come to visit her for a little bit, and then COVID hit and I just stayed. And to be fair, living my best COVID-free life here.
Yeah, well, you're so lucky in Guernsey.
Oh, yes.
The COVID levels are so low.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad, and I'm just so nice.
You also mentioned that you are a member of Latvian 4-H. So let's take it right back to when you first joined. How old were you?
I think I might have been 5.
Wow.
Because first I started as a participant of Latvian 4-H, and as Latvian 4-H they have in every school in the rural areas, and my school was one of those schools. And in a rural area there's nothing really to do, so if a new opportunity pops up, everyone's like, oh, I'm going, I'm pushing my kid to go there, oh, you'll go there. And that's what my mom did as well. She was like, do you want to try this out? You're just going to grow vegetables and it's going to be fun. And I was like, oh, why not? Free food. It's nice. So that's how I started. I was about 5 or 6. And then it just turned into something more.
Yeah. So what was it about Latvian 4-H? You know, apart from the free food and the free vegetables, what was it that got you hooked and made you get involved for so many more years?
It was probably when I changed schools. I went to Riga, started studying in high school there, and I met one other girl who is from other part of Latvia, rural area as well. And we were in the same class, and we started talking like, hey, I know you. And we shared this instant connection because we're both from 4-H. And then she introduced me to Latvian 4-H volunteers. And as I was a participant of Latvian 4-H, I decided why not to be a volunteer there. So when I was 15, I started being a volunteer with them, and it has been the best choice I have ever made.
And during your time as a member and a volunteer, what were those skills that you've developed over that time?
I think probably communication skills the most, because I learned how to talk with different ages with people. And having my first job working as a barista, it was so nice to connect and using those communication skills I gained with older people, and maybe sharing something in common when they were younger, and telling, even though you were in a big city, you find connection with everyone. Even if you don't know it, if you're going to meet someone from the other across the world, there's going to be some kind of connection. And that's what keeps me going and just communicating and talking. I love talking, as you can see. I'm sorry.
No, that's good for a podcast. Do you think that your experiences with 4-H, did it give you the confidence and the drive to seek out other opportunities?
100%. Because I remember first just traveling around Latvia with 4-H, and then having this conversation about Rural Youth Europe. And I was among the one people who said, I'm going to drop everything I can. I don't really care what's going on in my life that moment, but I'm going to go where they say there's an opportunity. And I started with them, and I just love meeting people and traveling and seeing different parts of the world. It's the best memories I will keep when I'm older.
And I think I'm right in thinking that you've been on a Erasmus Plus project event. Do you want to tell me a bit about that?
Right after Rally, the same year, I went abroad for 6 months. Well, it was supposed to be 6 months, but then it turned longer, to Portugal as a volunteer. And it was the Erasmus Plus project, but as well, my home organization. Still glad they decided to send me.
Yeah, amazing. You've had such a unique mix of experiences, whether that's through Latvian 4-H, Rural Youth Europe, Erasmus Plus. I think a lot of young members of our organizations listening to this, you know, they could feel really inspired by what you've achieved. You know, when you saw an opportunity, you've clearly taken it. What is your advice to younger members who have all these opportunities to come?
I just think that you shouldn't be afraid to do something alone. Even though because I used to be a little bit shy as well to go somewhere alone, because I was anxious. I didn't know if I would find the right way. But I would just like to tell younger people that you will. No matter where you go, you will find the right way, and you shouldn't be too shy to ask for help and to be courageous to talk to people and grab any information you can from them, and then just put it all in your notebook and see where the next opportunity points.
Yeah, I think that is some great advice there. To finish and sum up, looking back from when you were 5 years old, starting 4-H, you were excited by the free vegetables all those years ago. Do you think that ultimately joining that organisation at a young age, did that change your life?
Oh, yes. When I was 5 years old, I didn't even know that there were different countries. Probably, I don't know. I think I didn't know there were different countries. And thinking where I am now because of it, it's just mind-blowing to see that I was this small country girl knowing nothing, just going in for it for free vegetables, and then all of a sudden traveling the world and meeting amazing people. I'm just grateful for everything that I have in my life.
Amazing. Oh, I think that's the perfect point to end the interview. Thank you so much, Christine, for coming on the podcast. It's been so nice to catch up.
Oh, thank you. You too.
You are listening to.
You are listening to.
You are listening to.
Rural Voices.
The Rural Youth Europe podcast.
Thank you to Christine for that interview. I loved catching up with Christine. I think she is such an inspiration to young members across Europe. And when we can properly travel again, I hope you take Christine's advice and grab every opportunity that comes your way. In today's episode, we are talking about how our organisations are changing the lives of young people for the better. I personally can massively relate to this. Being a young farmer in England since I was 13 years old, I have massively grown my confidence and aspirations as a result of being involved with YFC. In my county, we recently had a campaign called We Grow Futures, which I think perfectly explains the skills that we gain. We grow confidence, we grow ambition, we grow leaders. You could go on, and I think we just need to shout about it a little bit more. Next up, have a listen back to when I caught up with Satu from Finland.
You are listening to.
You are listening to.
You are listening to.
Rural Voices.
The Rural Youth Europe podcast.
Hi, Satu. Thanks for giving up your time to come on to Rural Voices. So whereabouts in the world are you calling from today?
Well, today I'm actually still sitting in my rural hometown in central Finland, a small place called Pihtipudas that has less than 4,000 people living in here. But I live nowadays all the way on the other side of the Atlantic in New York.
Amazing. And I believe you should have been in New York for this interview, but your flights were rearranged.
Sadly, the global pandemic, traveling during a global pandemic, it's not always the easiest thing to do, even though I'm fully vaccinated. I'm really, really grateful for that. But yeah, so it would have been fantastic to provide you the soundscape of New York and just all the taxis honking horns in the background and everything. But no, here we are in the quiet rural small town of Pihtipudas.
Yeah, it must be nice for you to be spending some time in your hometown.
It is, and it's just obviously you miss your family, you miss your friends, you miss the foods, you miss the fresh air of Finland. Like, you keep forgetting if you live in big cities how fresh the air actually smells like when you go back home. And it's just one of those things that, like, I wish I could, like, export in a bottle and like sell it to Americans so that they would know what they're missing out on. But sadly, that technology hasn't been invented yet. But yeah, definitely, it's good to be back home.
So tell me your story then. How did you go from your rural town in Finland to working in New York? Tell us about your job now.
I studied in Helsinki, the capital of Finland, and I was working in the media in Finnish public broadcasting company called Yle, and I was doing like temporary contracts after temporary contracts on both the TV and radio side. And then finally, I got the pull again, like, I want to go live abroad. I really want to escape Finland and go do something cool somewhere super far. And I saw this advertisement for a job posting in Washington, D.C. to work as in communications in our embassy over there. And I was like, oh, surely you need like a doctorate or PhD in order to be able to work with the government. I'm never going to get the place. Might as well apply just for laughs. And I did like an application video and everything. And later on, I heard that was one of the crucial things that really make me like stand out from the crowd. And I would like showcase my editing skills in the video, and like I could speak English and Finnish. And then I got that job, and I was in DC for the past 3 years. And then at the beginning of this year, in 2021, because yes, we are in 2021 now, I got a new job working as communications advisor for the permanent mission of Finland to the United Nations and our consulate general in New York. So moving away from like politics and bilateral relations to this multilateral world of the United Nations, plus culture and commerce on the consulate general side. So just really showcasing what Finland is made of and trying to explain what is this small, fantastic country and why does it matter on a global stage.
Amazing. What an incredible position to be in, to be over in New York representing Finland and championing what Finland is all about.
Yeah, and also just like trying to explain our positions and how we really strongly believe in multilateralism and like small countries have a say in things. And one of the reasons, like, I don't know why this came to me as like a positive shock, was that I realized that because Finland is a big country land-wise, but very small in population-wise, so only 5.5 million, I didn't realize that Ireland is actually smaller than us. Like, I thought like the population of Ireland would be like, I don't know, 7 million or something. I only recently discovered that, oh my, that's actually like 4.9 million, I think. And I was like, but they're so visible everywhere because of this shared history of American Irish people, and stuff like that. So it really gave me this confidence boost, and I was like, if Ireland can do it, we can do it. Like they're so awesome, and that's been a real treat to get to know especially my European Union colleagues in both in Washington DC and New York, because the EU is definitely, we're stronger together, and like we're sharing tips and giving each other like all the good advice on things that's complicated and just practical stuff on like, hey, how to make the most of it out of Twitter or Facebook. So it's been really loads of fun.
So looking back at your time in 4-H in Finland, then you mentioned your rural hometown earlier. When did you first join 4-H Finland?
Well, I was a wee girl. I guess that's what they would have said in Scotland. I should not try to make those accents happen. But my first exchange actually was with the Young Farmers via 4-H, was to Scotland in 2009, I think. So yeah, I got my fair share of the Scottish accents. But I joined when I was like 8 or 9 to this local horse club, which was basically you learn how to like take care of the horses and how to ride and everything. And they weren't like, you know, like nice little ponies. They were like old, big trotting horses, because there's like the trotting carriage competitions in Finland. And they would like then later on transition into like rideable horses. So it was definitely a big learning curve for like a small 8-year-old girl to be working with these 500 kilo beasts. And then later on, I discovered that they also did like a dog sitter training with the Finnish 4-H. So for us, the entrepreneurship skills are very big. So that was basically a really easy and nice way for me to earn a little bit of pocket money to be the dog sitting other people's dogs when they were on the holidays. And like there's an official course and certificate that goes through with it. And then afterwards, I learned that one of my friends had gone abroad like through 4-H. And I was like, excuse me, what is this? Why didn't I hear about this earlier? And then I went to Scotland in 2009. And then there was this Take a Lead seminar in Tanzania with 4-H Tanzania in 2011. And I was also in Connecticut for 3 months in 2010. So I got onto this like international path, and I absolutely loved it. And ever since, I've like taken upon every international opportunity there's been, because I come from like a very a small rural town that doesn't really have big opportunities, and my family was never traveling abroad or doing any of those things. So whenever I saw some kind of exchange trip program, I was like, I will take it, I'll go. And that was, I think the confidence definitely stems from the 4-H side of that, because they really encourage us, despite your background, despite your previous experiences in international surroundings, just go for it. And there's always the gentle embrace of the host families who will take care of you in all these 4-H or Young Farmers families. So that's basically my 4-H career in a nutshell. And then I was also the chair of the National 4-H Youth Committee, which was awesome to be able to share it, because then you basically get invited into the big boardrooms of the 4-H. And we were, for instance, as chair, I was invited to be in the room selecting our new CEO for the whole of the National 4-H Federation. So that was pretty cool, like seeing the grown-ups in the room and seeing all their CVs and like the everything. And then it led to us going to the Global 4-H Summit in Canada, all the way in Ottawa. So I've done my fair share of traveling. And then via 4-H, you find this international exchange trip alumni network, the IFI network, what we call it. The Young Farmers might have a little bit of different term for it. And via that, I've made so many great friends in Finland with like the age group from like 18 to like 65, who've been on these various trips abroad themselves. And now we're organizing together this huge IFI conference, hopefully, if the pandemic so permits, next year in Finland. So it's been a great opportunity to find lifelong friends and just get your kind of like confidence built by this like organization.
And what an incredible journey that is, from 8 years old, joining your local horse club, and then through your time with 4-H, you've travelled the world, you ended up as chair, you were involved with recruiting the CEO. That is some journey.
It is, and it's one of those things that I always like I have my nephews and nieces in this town, and I always tell them just wait when you hit the age limit. I think it is like 18 and you get to go traveling. I'm like, please just go, especially young boys. There's not enough applicants on the younger male side of people in Finland. It tends to be very much the girls who are more courageous and they go abroad. And I'm always telling my nephews like, you want to go abroad and experience something in a safe environment. You want to work somewhere, because they're both from like a background. So you should definitely try these Young Farmers Exchange trips or check out the Royal Youth Europe things, because they're already doing the, some of my relatives have been involved in the Nordic 4-H community, because we have these Nordic 4-H camps. So I'm like, the next step is just go beyond the Nordics, go all the way to Scotland or somewhere else with the Royal Youth Europe community. So little by little, I'm lobbying them. They'll get there eventually.
Yeah, too right. It's a funny one, because I don't really think, and this is very much my personal opinion, but I don't think that people associate organisations like 4-H and Young Farmers as an opportunity to travel the world. You know, I don't think that people always realise that these opportunities are out there.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, like, I didn't realise it myself either when I joined the horse club. Like, it wasn't some kind of goal in my mind looming when I was 8, like, one day I'll travel to Scotland. And like, no, like, I had no idea. And it's such a safe way to do it. And another thing is that you're connected with the culture and the locals, because you're not staying in a hotel. You're not just travelling backpacking on your own. You get to have the morning cup of tea in the family. And I remember I had one host family that the mum insisted on doing my laundry, and I was like, I'm used to doing myself, but okay, if you want to do this. And then when I wake up in the morning and I go to the kitchen, like where we were having a breakfast, my laundry or everything, like my underwear and my bras, were hanging on top of the kitchen table and just like a drying little wires. And I was just like, oh gosh, this is so embarrassing. But to them, it's completely normal. So it's just like these experiences that you would never get if you stay in like hostels or hotels. So
yeah,
I've definitely become a lifelong advocate for host family stays, and I've done every chance I've ever had, and highly recommend it to everybody.
You've clearly had so many opportunities come your way through 4-H and been able to travel the world as a result of it. You mentioned earlier that you saw your confidence build over that time. What other skills did you gain through these experiences that you've been able to apply to your job now in New York?
Honestly, I think it really boils down to the fact of realizing that no matter where you go, people will still like you, and you don't have you don't have to put on any kind of mask or pretend to be any kind of different person than you are. That was the biggest relief for me, because the first time ever I flew, well, this wasn't a 4-H event, but it was a Lions Club host family exchange to New Zealand when I was like 17, all the way to New Zealand, flying over there. And I was really worried that like, they're not going to like me. Like, I'm a shy girl from Finland. Like, this is not going to go well. And like, what if I make mistakes? And then I realized, oh gosh, like, people are really the same everywhere. And like, working in multicultural environments, which is not a given if Finland is a very homogenous country. So you don't really get that exposure or experience if you're born in a rural community. So those travels, those trips, those Rural Youth Europe rallies where you have people from various countries has been absolutely fantastic. I really hope that by 2030 we will see people more relaxed with each other and focused on the common good rather than the possible differences that we have, but just focused on the things that make us together.
Yes, definitely. And I think that is the perfect point to wrap up the interview. But just to finish, and I think I might know the answer to this one, but do you think joining Finnish 4-H changed your life?
Definitely. From horses to travel to to so many fantastic friends that I've made in various countries around the world. I would not change it for the life of it. I wouldn't. Like, I just hope if you have a Young Farmers or 4-H organization or the equivalent, Landjugend or anything near you, I hope you have the courage to take that first step and go there and find your own niche, because it doesn't have to be the horse club. It doesn't have to be the cattle showing or anything like that. At least in various countries where I met folks, they've had all sorts of fantastic new clubs, even in the more city areas, of everything from entrepreneurship to digital skills to like being a personal assistant to everything. So just go there and look and Google. Google is your best friend in this, and please go experience it yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I think your story is incredibly inspirational.
Thank you, Dan, for interviewing me.
You are listening to.
You are listening to.
You are listening to.
Rural Voices.
The Rural Youth Europe podcast.
Hi, Birgit. Welcome to the podcast. It's so nice to have you on at last.
Hi, Dan. It's so nice that you asked me here.
This must be a weird feeling for you. We've only got a couple weeks to go before the GA, where you will be ending your time as Group 4 representative on the board for Eastern Europe. How does that feel?
Yeah, only 2 weeks left, I think. And it has been amazing. It wasn't anything I expected, because after 6 months or so, we got Corona. And all the travels and meetings were moved to online. So it was so much different than I expected. But we still have this perfect really great group.
Yeah.
So I really love it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, over the years, you must have been to so many different Rural Youth Europe events. Ever since I've known you, you have clearly been such a brilliant advocate and representative for Estonia. You must know so many people across Europe.
It's crazy. Sometimes in social media, you see a face popping out. It's like, yeah, it's some kind of familiar name or face, and then you start thinking, oh yeah, it was study session or rally yeah. or autumn seminar. It's so cool.
Yeah. In this episode, we've been talking about the skills that we have developed being a part of rural youth organisations. Being a board member and being heavily involved with Rural Youth Europe in general, have you personally developed any skills during your time?
Yeah, definitely. The first one I think of is my language skills. I still don't think I speak perfect English, but before it, I was really afraid that I do a lot of mistakes and nobody can understand me. But it's me, and I really love speaking in English now.
Yeah, well, I can confirm that your English is amazing. Okay, so Birgit, you are here with a very important job to do, to play our campfire stories game. Let's pretend we are around the campfire, and today we are joined by someone from Sweden, Ireland, and Austria. One of these people are saying a complete and utter lie, and it's up to you to work out which one it is. So let's hear our first story, and it's from Paddy from Ireland.
Hello, Europe. This is Ireland calling. My name is Paddy Delaney, and this is my story. Near my home village, at the beginning of May every year, there's a festival held called La Bialtana. One of the main events at this festival is a race where newly married husbands traditionally carry their wives through an obstacle course, with the winning couple receiving a large prize. However, in recent years, we have seen some variations to this race, with same-sex couples now participating. And in 2019, the race was actually won by a wife carrying her husband. Thank you for listening to my story.
So, what did you make of that story from Paddy?
Why not? Wife carrying championships, I think wife carrying is even from Estonia. So,
that is a fun fact. You think it started in Estonia?
I can't be sure, but I think it is.
Yeah, so you haven't got involved with that in the past.
No. but what Patty said, it really might be true. I know there are competitions about it.
Okay, yeah, so we can dwell on that one. Let's hear our second story, and it's from Emma from Sweden.
Hello, Europe. This is Sweden calling. My name is Emma Hansson, and this is my story. In Swedish 4-H, we have an annual national camp called Riksläger, where we sleep in tents in the nature. Naturally, you need someone to keep an eye on the campsite during the night, some night guards. Also, we do a lot of mischievous things this week, fooling people and playing tricks. One year, me and my friend decided to play tricks with the two people in our county that loves sleeping the most. One of them is her brother. They had a night guard duty 3 a.m. in the morning. So in the morning, we waited together with the people that actually had the shift for our friends. And when they finally arrived, they weren't happy, but we got a good laugh, and the face of them when the others stood that they'd been fooled was priceless.
Oh, I love that story from Emma, and I feel like it gives us a real insight into what goes on at these camps. Yeah. I've never been to a 4-H camp, but you're obviously from 4-H in Estonia. Do you believe this one?
Yeah, why not? Like, we don't have night shifts, but I think if we would have, that would be something we would do.
Yeah.
Just to make pranks.
Okay, so let's move on to our final story, and it is from Lucas from Austria.
Hello, Europe. This is Austria calling. My name is Lucas Wolfsieger, and this is my story. Once I participated in a Rural Youth Europe event in Switzerland. I had to leave the event one day earlier because I had an important meeting in my hometown. I went by train. This trip takes about 10 hours. Well, normally. So I was sitting in the train and suddenly the train stopped abruptly. We didn't move forward, we didn't move backwards, and no one wanted to tell us what has happened. The guy next to me became quite angry because he missed a meeting in Vienna caused by this delay. After half an hour, there were more than 50 firefighters next to the train, so I thought, maybe there is a fire. Finally, after 3 hours, the train started to drive again, but it didn't really accelerate. So the train maybe reached 50 kilometers per hour, not more. Luckily, I could have a short talk with a guard, and he explained the delay to me. He said that there was a horse standing on the rail when the train came. So the train I was sitting in just rammed a horse. The firefighters were there to clean the front of the train, and we couldn't go faster because the train could have been damaged. Unbelievable, isn't it? So, this was Austria calling. My name is Lucas Wolfsieger, and I'm looking forward for some awesome Rural Youth Europe moments. See ya!
What a great story from Lucas from Austria. I mean, he says it's pretty unbelievable. Do you think it's unbelievable?
You never know. Listening to the stories before, it's always like, you never know.
Yeah, very, very true. I feel like there's quite a lot of stories on this game about traveling to and from Rural Youth Europe events.
Yeah, there's even jokes about it already that some people always are late or to their board meetings or missing their first flights, or like, it's really fun.
Okay, so Birgit, which one do you think was the lie out of those three?
Maybe Paddy didn't tell the truth.
Okay, so you don't believe his story about the wife carrying championships in Ireland?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I can confirm that Emma from Sweden was telling the truth, and so was Lucas from Austria, so it was Paddy telling the lie.
Yay!
We have a winner. Congratulations.
I was just lucky.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Birgit, for coming on to play Campfire Stories.
Thank you.
Before we finish the episode, I just want to talk about how the fact that we've got an online rally coming up. The next episode, we will be documenting what happens at this year's online rally hosted by ZSPM in Slovenia. Birgit, will you be getting involved?
Yeah, it's my last event when I'm a board member, so definitely.
Yes, and I hope the GA goes smoothly to round off your time on the board. So make sure you are listening to the next episode to hear what went down at this year's online rally. In the meantime, make sure you are following Rural Youth Europe on all the socials. And if you have a story for next month's Campfire Stories game, then get in touch via our socials. Thank you, Birgit.
Thank you for having me.
You are listening to Rural Voices,
the Rural Youth Europe podcast.